Leviticus, when you hear the word Leviticus, what kinds of words come into your mind? Huh? And boring. Right? Let's be honest. Boring and tedious, repetitive and irrelevant. Somehow it's miles and decades, centuries away from our lives. And it's not, I don't think there are a whole lot of people would jump at their feet to study and to read Book of Leviticus unless you cannot sleep, so you want to have some boring book and you pick up the Numbers or Leviticus and start to read. When I was a baby Christian, I had the same attitude. Why do we come up with such a conclusion? Because, in my opinion, because we were ignorant about this book. Without this book, listen carefully please, without this book, we really cannot understand the job description of Jesus Christ and his person. Without this book, we cannot comprehend the reason for all the sacrifice mentioned in the Old Testament. We wouldn't know what's the purpose of these sacrifices. Without this book, we really don't understand the book of the Hebrews in the New Testament. They are related together. You cannot just read one book and say, well, I got it. Because to understand Hebrew, you have to understand Leviticus. To understand Leviticus, you have to read the book of Hebrews. Like no other Old Testament book, it is filled with the pictures of Lord Jesus Christ without exception. Every offering and every feast provide another vivid portrait of Jesus Christ and God's sacrificial lamb who takes away the sins of the world. That's why I titled this study of the entire book study is a portrait of Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to the book where we're going to learn about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why he did what he did and how it worked. And while we're studying the book of Romans, we're understanding your grace. While we're studying this book of Leviticus, we will understand your holiness. Let us get a glimpse of your holiness that we may engrave it in our heart to understand you, to love you, to follow you, and obedient to you in every step. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so first thing we need to do, this is the introduction of Leviticus. We need to find out who is the author and what is the timeline. Of course, the book of Leviticus is written by Moses, none other than Moses, around 1440 B.C. That's the timeline when he wrote all five books known as the Pentateuch. First five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's known as Pentateuch. And a lot of Jewish people don't consider anything else as important as those five books of Pentateuch. So what is the purpose of this book? See, when God recorded and preserved the book of Leviticus, he did not have in mind 21st century people like us. He knows what we're going to do, but this book is solely dedicated to it's more like an instructional book. It was not written for the people who would have a permanent building to worship God, like this or our sanctuary or some other case. They have their own buildings. See, that their ideal worship place is a tabernacle that is mobile all the time. And the people who are not, they are not the people who would have driving vehicles like cars or the trucks. But those people were going from one place to another place with a sheep or a herd of cattle, so on. So when he wrote this to the Israelites, they were worshiping in a portable tabernacle and did not come to God. They could not come to God without the sacrificial animal. whether it's a lamb or ox or goat or bird or any kinds of animals. But because Jesus Christ had to come, we no longer have to bring sacrificial animal to him. And we no longer have to go through the priest to talk to God. Now we have a direct access to him on behalf of, because Jesus Christ died for on behalf of us and for our sins. So now this book, Book of Leviticus, is not much of an instructional book for us. This brings up the second thought about the Leviticus, its significance and the design to be obsolete. Yeah, I said it correctly. It's not a heresy. It's not an untruth. This book is supposed to be obsolete. As I said before, this book is for what? For who? Priest of the Old Testament. We are not a priest. We've never been a priest in the Old Testament. Yes, we are priest, royal priesthood. See, once Jesus came and said it is finished, at least the part of what he meant was finished was the whole Levitical system, including need for the priest to be the mediator between God and humanity. All of that, the Old Testament ritual was fulfilled. And it is now set aside, and the believer's priest can come through Jesus Christ, directly to God. We have an inside channel. We have an inside source. And we have a direct access, so the Leviticus designated to become obsolete. However, let me make it very, very clear to you guys. The application of the Book of Leviticus is not obsolete. It's applicable to us. As a matter of fact, all the books of Bible applications that we can get the application from those books are still applicable in our lives. Are you with me so far? So don't think that the Leviticus is the Old Testament book we no longer can apply into our lives. We can apply into our lives. If you are a person who is writing a book, you need to have target audience to write a book. If you're going to make a presentation, you need to have a target audience. So who would be the original target audience in this case? If you are going to write a book, as I said before, you need to have a target audience, whether it's a young, old, male, female, Christian, or non-believers. If you don't have a target audience, then your book or presentation become vague and purposeless. In the case of Leviticus, the Book of Leviticus, original target audience is the Levites. Levites who were the priests during the Old Testament period. By the way, OT is my way to abbreviating the Old Testament. Let's start with the meaning, the name of Leviticus. It means that we don't have to wonder about what kinds of root word we're getting from the Book of Leviticus. Obviously, it's the Levite. Okay, Levite, the book for Levite, pertaining. The actual meaning is pertaining to Levites. That's the meaning of Leviticus. Who are the Levites? Think of them as ancient ministers. They were the priests and the mediators between God and the Israelites. And every time we read the word priest in our Old Testament, substitute the word mediator will have its basic meaning. So Levites, of course, the ancestor comes who? Comes from who? What's the name? Levi, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And his descendants are known as a Levite, and they are selected as priestly people, and they are supposed to not to have own their own land. All the other tribes, 11 tribes, are allowed to have a land, but these people are not allowed to have a land. Then how do they make a living? 11 tribes will bring their tithe to the temple, and out of that tithe, they make a living. So we're going to study all of that too. So what is the theme of the book? If I have to summarize the book of Leviticus in one word, that would be holiness. That would be holiness. As I said before in our prayer, if I can summarize the book of Romans in one word, that would be what? Grace. And now we have the book for the holiness. Contrary to what you may hear from the sermons or popular Christian music, the main thing about God is not love. Okay? Yes, 1 John says God is love. That is so true. But we have to understand what that's all about. Main thing about God is not a love, but it's holiness. Let me put it in this term. Let's put the love as a river, gigantic river. Okay? Holiness is the bank on each side of a river. The reason why I say that is because the river is the one bring the life, bring the nutrition to the land, so we can grow things from the land. Now, without the river, the land would be parched, right? Without the river, there is no hope for the life in that land, correct? Are you with me? However, without the bank on each side of the river, what kind of problem do we have? Flood. It's a disaster. So let me put it in this way. Love is a central in God, and holiness in the center. Holiness is the center of His love, because God's love is holy love. Okay? God's love is holy love. Don't think that God is love, so I can do whatever I want to do because He loves me. That's what I call cheap grace. That's what Oprah Winfrey wants. That's what the majority of people want. Love without holiness is a monster that can destroy God's perfect law, but while the holiness without love leaves no hope for the lost sinner. Both are perfectly balanced in divine nature and the works of God. So remember what I said. Love is a river, is love, and holiness is holding that love within, so it doesn't destroy everything within the land. Do you understand? Do you understand? That is very important for us to understand. If we don't understand, if we think that God is love, is there's no limit, then we have a major problem. Let me put it in a different term. I'm going to draw another illustration. Let's say there is a child. And that child, whenever that child wants something, you give whatever that child wants. And that child grow up and become what? Monster. It's a brat. And if he doesn't get his way, he throw a temper tantrum. But the child with discipline, and then when he grew up, he become a very great addition to the society. I'm sure you've seen the kid who threw a temper tantrum in the middle of the grocery store. Why would that kind of thing happen? Because the mother or parents or grandparents did not discipline their child. There was a love without a boundary. When there's love without boundary, that child become monster. And the river become a flood and destroy everything within the sight, within the path. God's holiness isn't just simply absence of a defilement and negative thing, but the holiness of God is a positive and active. It's God's perfect nature at work in accomplishing God's perfect will. The Hebrew word for holy that Moses used in Leviticus means that which is set apart and marked off that which is different. Sabbath is holy because God set apart. Okay? And priests were holy because they were set apart to minister to the Lord. Jesus commanded us, I'm sure you guys remember from the Gospels we studied, be holy just as I am holy. What does it mean? Okay, if we are not thinking straight, if we don't follow him in context, well, God is, Jesus is God, and he is perfect, and he is holy. Okay, to him is no problem. But we, being a sinful human being, we cannot be possibly holy. But if we understand what it means of being holy, then we can understand. He said, set apart. Set apart from the world. Set apart from the worldly influence. You follow me? So let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. This verse become one of my favorite verse rather quickly. Huh? Yeah. Right before 2 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. This is one of the verses we memorized before. So you guys all remember this, right?
Right.
Right. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So, we are supposed to be set apart from the worldly influence and worldly things in our heart. Again, our English word holy comes from the old English word halic, which means be whole and to be healthy. What healthy is to the body, holiness to the inner person. Okay? Remember, the related word sanctify comes from the Latin sanctus, which means consecrate, sacred, and blameless. We use the word sanctification to describe the process of growing to become more like Christ. Remember, justification, sanctification, and what? Glorification. Very good. We are saved by the grace of God. We are being saved by the grace of God. We will be saved by the grace of God. What does it mean? When we confess our sins to the Lord and we accept Jesus Christ into our heart, we are justified. You with me? Remember that when I explained this to you in the book of Romans? And we are being sanctified. We are set apart. We are made whole while we continue to live for God and living for him in the Christian way, set apart from the world, we've been sanctified in progress. That's a process. And when we get to heaven, we will be glorified. That's being, we will be saved by his grace. Do you understand that? Don't say, oh yeah, and then inside your heart, Now, the Leviticus teaches the way by sacrifice. The word atonement occurs 45 times in this book. So what is the atonement means? It means cover up or cover over. Actually, in my opinion, cover up sounds like a covered operation or trying to hide something. Actually, in my opinion, the better word would be cover over. I'll explain to you. The blood of bull and the goat did not actually take away sin. It simply covered over sin here until Jesus Christ came to take away all the sins. That is why the Apostle Paul is referring to Romans 3:25. So let's go to Romans 3:25. Romans 3:25. You there yet? Okay. whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. So what it is, God never accepted the blood of bulls and goats as a final payment for the sin. But he required the blood to be shed. So somebody had to pay for the sins. I'm kind of giving you a preview. We will study in the book of Leviticus when you, let's say you are the one who is bringing the animal to the tabernacle or temple. You bring your animal. I'm the priest. And in front of me, I examine the animal, and there's no blemish. Then you put your hand over the animal's head. It's a kind of symbolic gesture of your sin is transferring to, transferring to the animal. Then, because somebody had to pay for your sin, somebody had to die with the blood, right? So what I do is I cut the throat of the animal. Now, Book of Leviticus, in my opinion, very, very gory book. Very, very bloody book. Don't think that, I said it before, crucifixion is, don't think that a little bit of blood is trickled down from each arm and hand and little side on the little forehead. No, it was a gory sin. That's why the people, when the movie Passion of Jesus Christ came out, they said it is too violent. Even the Hollywood says it's too violent. Wow. You mean they are the one who make the Friday 13th, Jason, or all these other things. They say it's violent. Why? Because it revealed their sins. Leviticus will show us what required from us. But atonement, somebody took that place. This animal you brought to me is taking your spot to die. Are you with me on that? If we don't understand that, we don't understand the rest of the Leviticus. That's why we can say it, atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So God saved on credit during the Old Testament time, when the Jesus came to him accurately to the state, Jesus paid all to him I owe. And this is the truth of all the sins of the past, present, and future. And some of you might ask, or like me, when I was a baby Christian, I would ask, then why do I need to ask forgiveness? If my sin is a past sin, present sin, and the future sin has been all forgiven, why do I need to ask God to forgive my sin? You know why? Huh? That's one. But whenever I have a sin in my heart, I don't have relationship with God. My relationship with God becomes severed. Remember, let's go back to the story of David. When he committed sin against God with the Bathsheba, during that 1 year period until when the prophet Nathan came to him with a long index finger on his breastbone and you are the man, and he confessed, that 1 year period, during that time there was not one psalm recorded. There's not one prayer recorded. In other words, during that time, he was in abyss. He was in the darkness. He was in the place where God was not there. Not because God couldn't be there. David chose not to have a God. Isn't it true in our lives, whenever we sin against God, we step away from God and we don't want to be with God? The relationship with him becomes severed by our choice. Heavy, isn't it? One of the key verses I find in the book of Leviticus would be chapter 17, verse 11 in Leviticus. Chapter 17, let's go there. 17:11. Look at Jerry. He just punched a little thing like this while we're flipping pages. And he's looking at us, oh, you guys are so slow. Ooh. Everybody say, ooh. Okay, verse 11. And for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Let me put it this way. When I go out to the ride along with the guys, I told you before, I carry this pack called Quick Clot. It's what they call hemorrhaging agent. And when the person is bleeding, I put that thing into the wound directly and do the direct pressure, then it stopped the bleeding. What I'm saying is, without the blood, any living thing cannot survive. So without, there's life in the blood, as the Bible said. The way to God is by sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Leviticus also teaches that walk with God is by sanctification. Remember, progress. And word holiness occurred 87 times. Do you think he's trying to tell us about holiness in this book? Yeah, 87 times. God gives strict laws governing diet and daily details involving every physical aspect and lives of his people in the Old Testament. Even though we don't have to follow these laws, but I believe that there is a great spiritual application we can learn from. And that's the reason why we ought to study this book carefully. You will find a lot of things, the Old Testament representing Jesus Christ. And this become one of my favorite things, literally, finding Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And one of my friends told me that that happened to be your specialty, isn't it? So I said, yeah, that I love finding Jesus in the Old Testament. So let's take a look at the structure of the book. Structure of the book. Leviticus can fall, you can divide it in neatly two different sections. First 17 chapters teaches us about the way to God, the way to approach God. Was the by blood sacrifice, and that is God's design. He deliberately planned it that way, and if we, the sinners, wanted to come to God, Holy One, the only way through was through that is God on the cover, the blood of the animal, sacrificed animal. It covered, that word should be, instead of cover up, it should be cover over their sin. God honored it, and so for 17 chapters, God spelled out how the sinner could reach God and how they could find the cleansing from the sin and be right with Him. First five chapters, you will find that we are going to start the study next Thursday. I'm hoping that we covered all five chapters. But you know me, sometimes I get a little deeper, I get excited, and so we go cover like a two verses. So I don't know, I'm not going to hold my breath on that, but I'm hoping to cover all five chapters. Because there's a lot of repetition, and we don't need to go over and over and for the same thing. First five chapters, talking about five different offerings. They are individual different offerings, and it all described Jesus Christ from the different perspective. You will find out. Chapter 6 and chapter 7, as a specific instruction regarding the detail of offering up to sacrifice. Chapter 8 through 10, we gain the information about the priest, vital information to those who meet mediator of the dead day. Chapter 11 through 17, now we will find a lot of tedious information that probably we say, so what? But to them, it is very important about the how to handle day-to-day things, or the mother who just delivered, how to take care of mother, and how to take care of mother who just had a baby. In subsequent chapters, talk about treatment of disease. And we will come to know about the leprosy. And to us, leprosy is not a big issue, but to them, it's a deadly, literally deadly issue. And the second half, from chapter 18 to chapter 27, we have a direction for the walk with God. And a portion of Leviticus teaches how the sinner can stay in touch with the Holy God. In other words, the first 17 chapters is pretty much a direction to the priest. And last second portion would be more like an application style. The portion of the Leviticus teaches how the sinner can stay in touch with the Holy God. In chapter 18 through 22, contain the truth about holy living. In chapter 20 through the 26, describe the sacred celebration in which the Hebrew calendar was designed around number 7. Why number 7? 3 is perfect number, isn't it? That's what we have heard. That's why the Trinity. And throughout the Bible, you will see a lot of numbers representing. 3 is representing perfect. 6 representing man. Why? Because man is created on which day? 6th day. 7 represent God. What does 8 represent? New beginning. Correct. 12 represent assembly. 12 disciples, 12 tribes. Okay? All right. Goes on. There's a lot of numbers we have to understand. Another one very important, 40. Test and trials. Very good. Did you look at my cheat sheet? All right. These are the few, you don't have to write it down because we're going to go over these things. Here's a few calendar, the feast that they're mentioning. Sabbath, Sabbath year, year of Jubilee, Passover, first fruit, weeks of Pentecost, Feast of Trumpet, that is, and Day of Atonement, known as what? Yom Kippur. And Tabernacle, also known as Booth, Feast of Booths. Chapter 27 ends with the holy vow between God and man. So, we cover this thing rather quickly. Leviticus, in my opinion, is a book of worship. God is teaching us about holiness. We cannot really worship God without holiness in our heart. Let me just put it this way. When we sing worship songs, as Mark leads us to the throne of grace, do you just sing song lyrics? Or do you think about song lyrics, and do you sing to Him as a love song to Him? That's the right attitude. If you just sing to Him as a song, as song lyrics, might as well sing the Elvis Presley songs. You can really rock with that thing. If you don't mean what it says in the song lyrics, then you better not sing it. And besides, I know some of you guys, probably you are thinking that, are you picking on me? Yeah, probably I am. So if I step on your feet, oh well. When we are singing the worship song, some of you close your mouth and don't do anything. Why? Think this way. You are practicing worship God here for the heaven. Okay? You're going to do that for eternity. You might as well get used to it, bro and sisters. Get excited about the singing to God, love song to Him. So next Sunday, this coming Sunday, I expect you all to sing out loud. Okay? I really don't care whether you have a good voice or a bad voice. Like Pastor Jack always reminds us, make a joyful what? Noise. Hello, thank you. Sing out loud. You are not singing to me. You are not singing to somebody in front of you. You have one audience. Who is that? God. So you try to please Him. If you can yell at football team or your favorite basketball team, certainly you can sing loud to our God. Right? 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 Okay. So this coming Sunday, I expect real, real loud worship songs. I expect high quality from our worship team. Alright, so in my opinion, the Leviticus is a book of worship. I expect it's going to be great teaching for us. In Genesis, we see the man ruined. Man ruined. In Exodus, we see man redeemed. Escaped from the tyranny of Egypt to the promised land. In Leviticus, we see man worshiping God. We're going to learn how to worship God in the book of Leviticus. And we can also make a comparison, contrast between Exodus and Leviticus. In the book of Exodus, we see the offer of pardon. Leviticus offer of purity. In Exodus, we have a God's approach to man. In Leviticus, it is a man's approach to God. In Exodus, God is Jesus Christ is the Savior. In Leviticus, He is the sanctifier. In Exodus, man is the guilt is prominent. And in Leviticus, man's guilt, defilement is prominent. In Exodus, God speaks out of the mount. In Leviticus, God speaks out of the tabernacle. Let's stand up and pray. Before you think, I'm not going to sing out loud, I'm not going to open my mouth, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do all of that stuff. Think about it. Jesus died for you, right? He did everything for you. Is there anything that you wouldn't do for Him? Singing love song? That's the least thing we can do for Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the book of Leviticus, the book of worship, the book of holiness, the book of our thanksgiving. Let's come to You remembering the blood of Jesus Christ that shed for us. Without that blood, there is no remission. Without this, Your Son's atoning sacrifice, we couldn't even come talk to You. We would be condemned sinner. But You gave us life through Him. We thank You and we love You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.